MediTalk with Dr. Ross Walker.
Well, good afternoon, Dr. Ross Walker. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Brent. How are you, my
friend? I'm good, mate. Your house looks nice. You're in comfortably. I appreciate the pics you sent me through. You need a bit of work on the entrance, though.
Thanks, mate.
when does the... I don't know if you have the same problems, but, you've got to get the people to turn up, haven't you? That's part of the problem.
Oh, yeah, no, they've been pretty good. It's only taken, I think, about 10 months of building, and obviously the outside still looks like a construction site, but inside's fantastic. My wife is an absolute dynamo, so we've unpacked 95% of the boxes. When I say we, mainly her.
You and I read this story this morning. You're talking to Professor Henry Wu on your program on Sunday.
Yep.
I wanted to ask you, just before we talk about this, can I throw a question at you from someone? I should have said this to you. I didn't, so if you need time, we'll get back to it next week. But it sort of goes into what we're about to talk about. It says, could you ask Dr. Walker, this is from Tony. Tony said, could you ask Dr. Walker if there is any treatment other than medication for an overactive bladder problem, please? He said, I am a 59-year-old male. Mm-hmm. I have been on, is it Ditropan?
Yeah, Ditropan.
Ditropan, 5 milligrams for a while.
Yeah.
And it's not making much of a difference. Kind regards, Tony.
Yeah. Well, there are other medications. There's a thing called Silacil. Ditropan's one of the things, another one called Betmiga. So Betmiga and Silacil, S-I-L-O-S-I-L. Which all work around the same lines of things, and there are some side effects with all of these drugs. And they do work for some people. It's the problem, if I give, say, for example, 100 people the same pills, 90 think I'm a genius and 10 want to throw them at me. And you can never tell who's going to be in that 10% of side effect range. In terms of other treatments, if you're really having a big problem with the overactive bladder, that's exactly what a good segue into what we're talking about with Professor Henry Wu, who's one of the pioneers in urology, works at the Sydney Adventist Hospital and at Westmead, and this treatment for prostate disease may also be affecting the bladder, because when many older men have an overactive bladder where they're running off to the toilet frequently, often the middle, even though their prostate mightn't be particularly enlarged, the middle lobe of the prostate, which you can't really feel on a rectal examination, might still be pressing on the bladder and giving them symptoms. So if anyone's really troubled by this and the pills aren't giving them good relief without side effects, then they could go and see someone like Professor Wu and get an assessment about it.
Tell us about this procedure as opposed to what men used to have to have done.
Well, in the old days, and there are still a number of urologists who are doing this, an extensive thing called a transurethral resection of the prostate, which is done via a cystoscopy, so a hard metal tube that goes into the bladder through the penis. And basically the catheter that they put in, this transurethral prostatectomy, they ream out the inner bits of the prostate. But the problem with that procedure in its old form is that there was a very strong risk for impotence and incontinence, and two things that obviously no one would want. But it was a very significant side effect profile with the procedure. Now, a lot of the urologists have refined that. Some of them are doing laser prostatectomies, and so they've really refined it. There is another thing that they're doing more overseas, not so much in Australia, where they put a catheter in the femoral artery in the groin, and instead of winding it up to the heart to see how the heart arteries are going or the brain arteries are going, they turn it back on the prostate and embolize or block off the prostate arteries, and it shrinks down the prostate. And that's also been shown to be quite effective as well. But this new procedure, where they use a little basket device to put into the prostate and basically open up the prostate with the basket. So the prostate's there compressing the urethra. They put the basket in, open up the basket. The basket then compresses the prostate against the wall. And so it's been shown to be quite effective. You leave the thing in for a few days, it holds open the prostate and you have much better flow. You don't get you're not looking for a toilet every hour or so. And it's shown to be in a small group of people. I did a study that was published in a journal called Prostatic Cancer and Prostatic Disease, or Prostate Cancer and Prostatic Diseases, a study published just in October of 81 people where they had this implant called the the TIND implant, I don't know what it stands for, but they followed these people for 3 years and they had quite good relief of all of their prostate symptoms. And here's the key, without incontinence and without impotence, so maintenance of sexual function as well. So this is a major breakthrough for the treatment of men who have bladder urgency and also prostate symptoms, which can be anything from a very poor stream to the worst thing, which is urinary retention, where you just can't pass urine at all and your bladder really explodes behind that. So I've been, when I was a junior doctor, so many times men would come in where they just cannot pass urine. You have to catheterize them and you might drain 3 litres of urine.
Gosh. Do these health tablets that you can buy, Prostate Ease and things like that, do they work or
look,
not?
Look, I think there's another thing called Aterinon, who advertise on my show. That's a tomato pill with very concentrated lycopene, which is one of the carotenoids that's pretty good for prostate disease, breast disease, and it's not bad for the blood vessels either. All the drugs like the Prostate Ease Max, the Prostate Relief, all of these things have a varying amount of hormones like saw palmetto, epilobium, and a few other things that can help shrink the prostate down to an extent. There's also a number of drugs on the market that shrink the prostate down. There's an old-style blood pressure pill called Minipress that's been used for years that also helps shrink the prostate down. And there's now these specific prostate drugs like Flomaxtra, another one called Duodart, another one called Avodart. These drugs also work by shrinking down the prostate before you have to go to the procedural level. But the problem is, with all of these drugs, there's always the potential for side effects. So if anyone's listening to this and wants to try, by all means, go into the health food store or the pharmacy, pick up some of the herbs for the prostate, the Aterinon, but speak to your doctor about the medications involved and now all the procedures that are there for men with prostate disease, which is an incredibly common problem. But the thing about men's health is that a lot of men are really embarrassed to talk about whether they're having prostate problems or erectile dysfunction or whatever. And the point is, you can be as embarrassed as you like. Many, many men over the age of 50 have these problems and we need to get them sorted out.
What's the test you have? Is this to see if you have an enlarged prostate? You drink litres of water and you have to hold that water in. I think they take x-rays of your bladder and then you're allowed to get rid of the water and then they take x-rays again. What's that test?
Yeah, I think what you're describing there is a micturating cystogram where they actually take a picture of how the bladder works when it's under a bit of stress. They can also do an MRI of the prostate, which has been shown before you go on to have a biopsy, which you'd only have the biopsy purely to exclude prostate cancer. And it's a pretty uncomfortable procedure. And as you know, Brent, men are wimps. So women push out babies and don't complain about it. But men get there and so have something minor happen to them and it's a dreadful thing. It's like the man flu. The man flu is a very serious problem that women don't understand.
Exactly.
And it's the same thing with a prostate biopsy. I've got to say, I would not have one unless I had a quick general anaesthetic for it because it's so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So if you can have any test before that, like an MRI and a rectal examination, so the doctor puts the glove finger into the rectum and feels the prostate, all of these things can help decide whether it's a big prostate, whether there's any evidence of cancer, all of these things can happen.
And this new procedure, from what I've read today, is, I won't say non-invasive, but you have the initial procedure done under a light general anaesthetic, so there's not a lot of pain involved there.
Yeah, that's right. Then they just remove it like they'd remove a urinary catheter 2 or 3 days later or 3 or 4 days later. And as I said, in the small group that Henry's already done, the four people have already had it done, including the famous Dr. Bronte Douglas, who I'm not speaking out of school because it was mentioned in the Herald article, and many people have heard of Douglas Hanly Moir, the pathology company. Well, he's the Douglas of Douglas Hanly Moir. He's a good fellow. I know him very well. And he had the procedure, and a few other people had them with great success in the small group of people who've had the procedure. So we're not suggesting this is the new panacea, but it looks very promising.
I'm glad we spoke about it because I know a lot of blokes listen to us would have that problem because they're of the age where it starts to create a real nuisance factor in your life.
Well, mate, I think I've told you before the three rules of being a male over 50.
They are.
Number one is never walk past a public convenience. Number two is never waste an erection. And number three, never trust a fart.
Very true. Very true. Let's talk about, before we take a commercial break, let's talk about, there's a study out that's found a common nutritional supplement might boost cancer immunotherapy. What's this
about? Yeah, this is really exciting stuff. There's something that, I've got to say, I've been taking this for the last 5 years as an anti-aging pill. There's a guy who's an Australian who works at Harvard called Professor David Sinclair, who's really become the anti-aging guru. And what David's been developing is all this work around this revved up version of vitamin B3 called NAD riboside, NMN, same sort of thing, or a thing called NAD plus. And all of these things work as anti-aging. But here's the interesting thing. When you have a cancer, cancers have almost like this invisible shield around them that makes them almost invisible to the immune system. So the immune system doesn't see that it's a cancer. How immunotherapy works is by breaking down that shield and allowing these lymphocytes, these things called tumor-infiltrating lymphocytes, to get into the cancer. And, these TILs, these tumor-infiltrating lymphocytes, are really the best foot soldiers we have to kill cancers. But interestingly, if they get into these tumors, the tumor almost releases a kryptonite that makes them weak. And so what they've found is that when this happens, the mitochondria, which are the little fuel packs of every cell, whether it's in the T cell or in the tumor, the mitochondria start to really fail, and so they don't get any energy in the T lymphocytes. And so what they found is by giving this NAD riboside, or one of these revved up versions of B3, it restores the T lymphocytes to good health. So if you give the immunotherapy that breaks down the shield and you give the NAD riboside to the T lymphocytes, they get into the tumor and they can start doing their stuff properly. And they've basically studied this now in a whole different lines of mice tumors or mouse tumors, and they found that that they could completely stop the progression of these tumors by adding the NAD riboside to the immunotherapy. And totally inhibited the growth of tumours in mice. It's a simple thing. It's not going to hurt anybody to take it. As I said, I've been taking it as an anti-aging drug for years. I've used nicotinic acid, which is a similar version of this, in my cardiac patients for many years as well, with great effect. And many of my patients have not had any sort of ongoing issues because of these sort of revved up B3s.
Wonderful. We're talking to Dr. Ross Walker. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more next.